Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only until the question-and-answer session. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the meeting over to your host, Ms. Patricia Murphy. Ma'am, you may now begin.
Thank you, Anderson. This is Patricia Murphy, Vice President of Investor Relations for IBM, and I'd like to welcome you to the IBM Cloud Investor Briefing. Over the course of this year, we've been hosting a series of webcasts on IBM's capabilities in key areas. And today, we're here to talk about cloud. We'll address IBM's strategy and differentiation in cloud, and then address how the acquisition of Red Hat will enhance that differentiation. I'm joined today by three of IBM's Senior Vice Presidents. In speaking order, we have Mark Foster, Senior Vice President, Global Business Services, Martin Yetter, Senior Vice President, Global Technology Services, and Arvind Krishna, Senior Vice President, Hybrid Cloud, and Director of IBM Research. Before we get into the content, I want to make a couple of comments. First, we're webcasting this event live, and a replay will be available by this time tomorrow. And second, during today's call, we'll make some statements that are considered forward-looking. Those statements involve factors that could cause actual results to differ materially. Our presentation also includes a couple of non-GAAP financial measures, which we reconcile to the related GAAP measures in accordance with SEC rules. Additional information concerning the risk factors and the non-GAAP reconciliations is contained in the company's filings with the SEC. So with that, I'll turn the call over to Mark Foster, and then at the end of the prepared comments, we'll come back for Q&A. So Mark, over to you.
Thank you, Patricia. Well, good morning and welcome. Pleasure to be on this call. The focus of this call this morning is going to be around, of course, around the cloud. But before we get into that, I want to sort of step back and provide some insight on the bigger picture as we see how this fits into the wider transformation agenda that our clients are facing. We actually believe we're on the cusp of the next big wave of major transformational change in our enterprise and clients around the world. As they straddle this world of going digital, the journey they've been on for the past 15 years or so, a journey where they've been responding to the outside-in pressures that have connected themselves to the internet and the digital world. With the inside-out transformation starts to now be real from becoming cognitive enterprises, as they start to be able to connect the power of the vast amount of data that they have through the use of technologies such as AI, automation, IoT, etc., to transform the way they do business. So we see a huge opportunity for the incumbents, for large-scale enterprises, to strike back, to take advantage of the 80% of data that remains proprietary, and use that to create new business platforms to compete upon. Those business platforms are going to be made up of their data, the transformed workflows, and the expertise that they have in their organization to continue to differentiate. This transformation process will, of course, be fundamentally enabled by the cloud-based applications and infrastructure that will underpin these new workflows. And so we see a real shift taking place in the transformational journeys of our clients. They're going to need a lot of help as they think about how they go on these journeys. And the underlying technologies around the journey to AI, the journey to the cloud, the leverage of security is going to be taking place inside the context of that bigger picture of transformation. And we can see that the IBM core capabilities and skills are going to be at the heart of that ability to differentiate and drive us into the future. Most importantly, the opportunity for us to leverage our open nature, to act as the orchestrator and trusted partner for them as they go on this journey, is going to be something that's going to be really important and allow us to leverage our full set of market capabilities. So when we look at the overall competitive position that we have, we believe that it's going to be very strong, and even strengthened by the acquisition of Red Hat. The first thing is this unique capacity that we have to be the only organization that's combining large-scale business transformation with technology skills and assets. And we see that combination is going to be even more relevant as we try to accelerate clients as they go on this journey. We think as they start to build these new business platforms for the future, they're going to need a partner with the capability that can play right up and down the stack. The data, the applications, the infrastructure, the workflows, and indeed the people change agenda as well. And that our opportunity to be the orchestrator of those end-to-end journeys is really high. It also, of course, presents a very, very substantive services opportunity to us. services are already some 60% of IBM, and the opportunity for us to leverage that even further as we partner with organizations going on this journey is even greater. And so we see, you know, a real potential for the whole of IBM to take advantage of this move to the cloud and indeed our acquisition of Red Hat. When we look at, you know, the value that we can see ourselves bringing to our clients, it really is going to be about how we can get them, help them to extract value from the cloud. Because indeed, the real question is, what's the cloud for our clients? And we believe, first of all, you know, a lot of them are looking to deliver on real agility in their business, coming out of accessing cloud solutions. In fact, a recent study we did for the Institute of Business Value identified nearly a half of the respondents were driving towards agility as the core aim they were aiming for with their cloud solutions. Also, of course, they're going to be looking to try and build and create new digital applications that can allow them to compete again. And this is also something that's enabled, as well as the value that simply comes from a better total cost of ownership and being able to operate in a more efficient and effective way. So a huge amount of value we can see that we can help our clients garner as they go on this journey. And with that, I'm going to hand over to Martin to pick up the baton.
Thank you, Mark, and good morning, everybody on the phone. What I would like to do is, Mark teed up the entire opportunity to speak about the market in terms of size of the market and opportunity for IBM. You see on the slide on the upper part that the total IT opportunity for IBM in 2020 is a market of a size of $1.7 trillion. And when you go to the right, you see that the traditional segment is about $0.6 trillion. It is declining. So that's the traditional part we are addressing. And then you see the cloud. The cloud market is growing strong double digit, 18% CAGR to $1 trillion in 2020. When you then go further and dissect the cloud market, that total opportunity of $1 trillion in 2020, we have dissected in two parts. One, the private one, which is growing 16% CAGR to $0.4 trillion in 2020. We call it private. And the public part. The public part grows as well, strong double digit, to 20% CAGR to $0.6 trillion in 2020. And when you take the traditional segmentation, hardware, software, services, you see that this $1 trillion opportunity, 50% is services, and the remaining 50% is software and is hardware. Now, what I would like to point out is that 50% of the cloud opportunity is in regulated industries, such as financial services and government. And that's very, very strongholds of IBM, where we understand the market dynamics and we understand the requirements of the regulator towards a very secure and a high availability for a cloud. So from an IBM point of view, the race for the cloud is far from over. In fact, enterprises are early in their journeys to the cloud. On average, enterprise cloud adoption remains low at 20%, what a recent McKinsey Enterprise Infrastructure Survey showed. This means, and that's the opportunity statement, that 80% of enterprise workloads have yet to migrate to cloud. And enterprises will need help in managing the resulting hybrid environments. This is a significant opportunity for IBM, and as I pointed out, 50% of the opportunity is in services. It's also more than just the infrastructure itself. When clients buy infrastructure, either the physical hardware or infrastructure as a service, they need to integrate and manage that infrastructure to achieve business results. From a services perspective, enterprises are projected to spend anywhere between $2 and $5 of services for every $1 spent on public cloud infrastructure. For example, these services could be cloud readiness assessments, migration services, multi-cloud management, and so on. So this makes the shift to cloud a very attractive dynamic for IT services companies. Now, I would like to move on to the next slide to dig a little bit deeper, go from market to client. Let me illustrate what I just said with a client example. IBM completed a consulting engagement for one of the largest European banks. As part of the engagement, we conducted a workload readiness assessment and developed an integrated 5-year digital transformation journey map to accelerate the adoption of cloud for this bank. At the time of the assessment, and you can see this on the left side of the slide, the bank had only 3% of the 700 workloads in cloud, and this is expected to grow to 13% over the course of this year. We established a cloud competency center as an enduring organizational structure to catalyze and accelerate cloud adoption, as well as the entire digital transformation. The CCC, the Cloud Competence Center, is staffed by both, by client and IBM experts to drive this mission, and that staffing will increase over the next 5 years as innovation is baked into the fabric of the organization. We conducted a workload assessment and developed a vision for the target environment to be majority cloud, with only 24% of the workloads in the traditional environment by the end of 2022. On the right side, you see, and this is common when it comes to where enterprises are with cloud adoption. Based on the study I just mentioned, 15 to 20% along their cloud journey are done, and there is a long way to go. As enterprises digitize their business, they are looking to a cloud-first strategy, but often end up with a hybrid as the destination. Additionally, enterprises are selecting multiple cloud providers to avoid a vendor lock-in. An average enterprise client has around 1,000 applications and uses up to 5 different clouds. As a result, the environments are becoming increasingly heterogeneous and complex. To manage this complexity and the exponential rise in data, enterprises are leaning towards service providers like IBM, who are able to provide an end-to-end capability for hybrid and for multi-cloud. And with that, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Arvind.
Thank you, Martin. So based on both the explicit example that Martin used, as well as the market data that showed where the opportunity is growing with significant double digits across both private and public cloud, here are the 5 tenets of IBM strategy. The first tenet we have is that our clients value a hybrid environment. They need to be able to operate across their traditional, private, and public clouds, and our strategy has to enable that for our clients. 2, Martin mentioned briefly, our clients are already using multiple public clouds. Over 3/4 of them are using 5+ clouds, is what they tell us. So the strategy has to enable multiple clouds. Some of those will be SaaS property, some of those will be infrastructure, some of those will be platform as a service on the public clouds. When you put hybrid and multi-cloud together, open becomes essential because the capabilities have to be open by design, because clients wish to sometimes take workload from cloud to cloud depending upon the convenience, the pricing, as well as the workload affinity to other workloads as well as data. Security. As Martin mentioned, 50% plus of the market is in industries where regulations demand extremely high security of the environment, and security extends to reliability. And 5th, if you do management that is unique for every island of compute, be it on a public cloud, a SaaS property, a private cloud, a traditional, that becomes extremely complex for any enterprise. The consistency of management across these environments is critical to be able to deliver the operational simplicity as well as the high reliability and resilience. We'll come back and talk more on many of these, but before we do that, let me turn it back to Martin to talk about a couple of explicit client examples.
Thanks. Thanks, Arvind. And let me start with the left side on the slide with Westpac and American Airlines will be addressed by my colleague, Mark. Westpac is a great example on how we enable clients' journey to cloud from an end-to-end perspective. Westpac is a longtime client that we have been working with and advising on an integrated cloud strategy. Westpac partnered with IBM to implement a fully integrated hybrid cloud platform across their business to deliver premium services to more than 13 million of their clients. The new environment, we call it Hybrid Platform as a Service, or HPaaS, enables Westpac to easily deploy applications across the group and deliver new customer solutions to the market faster. And at the very same time, and it has been mentioned by Arvind earlier on, provide the necessary data protection and privacy which is demanded by the regulator. With the flexible hybrid cloud architecture, the client is able to keep their technology current, is able to scale up and scale down on demand, and deliver efficiency gains through an increased level of automation. What historically took weeks is now automated and happens in hours. For example, server provisioning has gone from 2 to 4 months to 2 to 4 hours. An application installation will be reduced from months to hours. Westpac's private offsite cloud is built and managed by IBM out of 2 IBM cloud data centers in Australia to fully comply with the regulator in Australia. When combined with the bank's existing on-prem infrastructure and public cloud services, the bank has a single platform for greater flexibility and, of course, for the operational efficiencies. Thousands of workloads are already on this HPaaS environment with projected growth as the bank moves more applications and workloads to the cloud as part of their continued transformation using the IBM Cloud Migration Factory. The project will roll through 2021, and we will work with Westpac to help them build and manage their hybrid cloud as a service platform transformation. Given that Westpac runs Red Hat Linux, there is an opportunity to potentially leverage the full multi-cloud capabilities that IBM and Red Hat can offer, including multi-cloud management, cohesive management of Kubernetes environments, as well as application innovation services. Let me now turn to Mark to talk about another great client example, American Airlines.
Thanks, Martin. I talked about the fact that these cloud architectures have a real ability to deliver business impact and the business value to our clients. And American Airlines is a great example of putting that right in the hands of their customers. We have been implementing on the IBM cloud a real shift of their application, starting with AA.com. which powers all of their kiosks, all their mobile interactions with us as customers as we check in to their business. You're right there in the hands of customers, enabled across the country, across the world, by the IBM cloud. We've also been leveraging that technology, though, to help them build and roll out new applications native on the cloud, such as the dynamic booking application we created, which allows them to deal with the implications of a weather incident and allow the dynamic booking passengers around the country. And underlying that is a continuing process by which we're helping them move their application suite into the cloud environment. We're leveraging our IBM Garage methodology, which is a specific methodology that engages and co-creates and co-executes and cooperates with the client around how to actually move forward with their transformation of their underlying infrastructure in line with real business priorities and needs. And we can see this journey continuing with American Airlines into the future as we help them to fully modernize their application suite. When we look at the overall picture that we now have of this potential you've heard from Martin and myself around the real opportunity we see here. It's one that we can take that picture that Arvin described of the hybrid, multi-cloud, open, secure management framework we put in place and run it right across the life cycle of our relationship with our clients. That we can help them with everything from the advice we provide them about how to navigate this cloud journey, how to think about the choices they need to make, decide which applications need to be in which environments, to prioritize their strategy in line with their business imperatives, all the way through our ability to help them move applications, build new applications, manage and operate these environments in the future. And we see, you know, all of this is going to be really helping us to scale our business, both on the product side and also on the services side, because we will be able to obviously provide important on-ramps into the IBM cloud solutions, as well as, of course, driving scale services for both GTS and GBS. And with that, I'm going to hand back to Arvind to pick up on particulars of Red Hat.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. So let's talk a little bit about what IBM has achieved already in this market of hybrid and multi-cloud with the other capabilities. So first, on the right side of what you can see on the screen, let's put some numbers down. $19 billion of cloud revenue. A fourth of IBM's revenue is now cloud, within which the as-a-service revenue has been growing at 24%. Now, these results are based on the offerings, capabilities, and talents that IBM has fronted into the market. When we look at our offerings, we have lived hybrid. Private, dedicated, public are all cloud offerings that we bring to market. In the examples that you heard Martin and Mark talk about, the cloud advisory and migration practices were essential for both our Westpac and American, and hundreds of other clients have taken advantage of what IBM has brought to bear. Application modernization, we know, is essential. Mark talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but application modernization is the value that many clients get when they migrate to the cloud. It has to be done in a way that is secure. So our digital workplace, network, resiliency, security services are all essential as people connect their environments, their traditional enterprise environments, with different cloud environments. Products such as Cloud Private, Multi-Cloud Manager, AI OpenScale from IBM, these are all examples of how we bring both an open capability as well as a secure and multi-cloud capability to bear into the market. What we have done with the mainframe and its security and encryption facilities, which is just the latest example of an attribute, as well as what our cognitive and power systems have been doing around AI, and as well as storage and attaching to Linux, are all product capabilities to bear. 60 cloud data centers, so we can bring a localization of data to where our clients need it. Leverage of these platforms within services, the IBM services platform with Watson, which has 1,700 client instances. Hundreds of thousands of virtual machines migrated. Over 1,000, 1,700 to be precise, VMware clients on the IBM cloud. Together with the talent that is essential to help our clients make this journey, over 90,000 application consultants and developers, and expertise across 20 plus industries, and the thousands of cloud patents we've been awarded is a very strong foundation that allows us to now move forward. So let me touch a little bit on Red Hat, and then we'll come back to our cloud journey. Red Hat has been a pioneer of enterprise Linux and open platforms. However, they have built on that foundation, and they have evolved just from there to become a driving force in hybrid cloud computing. Of course, the enterprise Linux platform has wide adoption. We know that Linux has now crossed 50% of server operating systems by volume. And based on that, there's a very broad ecosystem that functions on that platform, and the developer community is extremely strong. However, based on that, Red Hat has also moved forward to provide some foundational technology. They have built out a containerized Kubernetes platform that functions across all environments, multiple public clouds and very different environments in I'll use the word private cloud here, but also traditional environments. And it is all based on open standards and is cloud agnostic. And the 90% adoption of Linux within the enterprise is going to allow us to move forward. Now, IBM and Red Hat are complementary. If you look at that page, in red is the Red Hat OpenShift platform. When I talked about the foundation that Red Hat has built in hybrid computing, think of the red as being what Red Hat has built. On top of that, we run IBM Cloud Private, which offers us the ability to containerize all of the IBM middleware and analytics offerings and run them on that environment across all of the environments that Red Hat runs on. And this is extremely powerful as the two of us will come together. And these are also capabilities that both my colleagues here, Mark and Martin, will be leveraging in their respective businesses. Note, all of this runs on both private clouds and multiple public clouds and allows us to extend our capabilities into those markets. So as we look at what we will be doing, and some of this is work that we began in partnership already earlier this year, we will be certifying IBM middleware to run in the environment I showed you on the prior page. We will be combining much of the middleware with different open source that is available and that many of our clients wish to use. Note, this can be deployed wherever this platform runs, which already includes today on Azure and AWS and the IBM public cloud, as well as clients' traditional environment. And the development lifecycle will be extended from inception to production with management services. And for the clients that would like some help, we have a real depth of professional services to offer them, either for application modernization, cloud native applications, or the management of this environment. To sort of summarize and begin to go towards where IBM and Red Hat will be able to draw more synergy opportunities, a couple of quick pages. When we look at what IBM and Red Hat will bring together, one, we will be able to accelerate hybrid cloud adoption. Two, the extensive developer ecosystem that Red Hat brings means that they can get more capabilities from us. And we will touch on a couple of pages on the cross-sell and new revenue opportunities. Red Hat, while extremely successful, we can bring them a lot of industry expertise and scale. When you touched on those examples of Westpac and American earlier, those were not just taking them into the cloud. It required a knowledge of the regulatory environment that both of them face in different geographies as well as different regulators. And we're going to expand the reach of the open technologies to all the clients. So when we look at our clients, they can now get an enterprise-grade hybrid cloud. They get a path to migrate. They get consistent management across multiple clouds and a cloud that is secure to the core. To sort of come back to the picture that Martin used, where he showed that where the client environment is going to migrate to usage of both from traditional IT to include private and public clouds. And by the way, I know this is a little bit recursive. Within public, there's dedicated clouds. Red Hat OpenShift is a platform that goes across all those environments. And it then enables the cloud consulting and migration together with application modernization. It enables managed services and support, and it enables IBM's platform to function across all of those environments. So to touch a little bit on synergy and cross-sell opportunities, I'll touch a little bit on the first column, and then Mark will carry on after me. So when we look at this, I already touched on it, we're going to get a consistent environment across multiple public and private clouds. It allows us to extend our capabilities into all those environments because of the work we're doing through the containerization of the IBM properties to be able to run on OpenShift everywhere. We believe that open source adoption is only going to accelerate as we move forward, and it allows us to leverage the broader developer ecosystem as we work on many, many open source projects. Hyperledger will be just one such example. Istio is another example for the community where we'll be able to now bring them much faster into mainstream enterprise adoption.
And clearly, this will also strengthen our position as a trusted advisor for our clients as they go on their cloud journeys. The open nature of this builds credibility for us around our ability to be a trusted advisor that's able to help our clients navigate a journey that obviously does take in IBM solutions, but also solutions from other providers as well, as they navigate that what's clearly going to be a hybrid multi-cloud world. We obviously also get access to some world-class tools and platforms like OpenShift, which will enable our client application modernization, allow us to win more work there, and help us and create an environment that we can operate in with consistency and tools that we can leverage as well. There's clearly also thought leadership that we can leverage too in this picture. And as we look at this overall idea here, the ability for us to cross-sell and upsell our skills across the breadth of the GBS value chain is really significant. Martin, GTS.
GTS as well is in many, many instances a trusted advisor and partner to our clients from an infrastructure services point of view. Our capabilities include more or less advising clients anywhere to anywhere. Migrations of critical environments based on our experience and the expertise at scale. With Red Hat, GTS will be able to leverage their presence, such as footprints across multi-clouds, as Arvind alluded to in earlier slides. So we are doing this already. We will do that even more professional going forward. With Red Hat, we will expand this scope, particularly as clients accelerate their adoption of open in new environments. As they refactor, develop new applications based on containers, as Arvind described, and bear in mind, we mentioned that 80% of the migrations are still ahead of us. Now, two additional items. Number one, GTS is the number one infrastructure service provider in the market, so we have a huge presence and a huge scale. Linux from Red Hat is the core operating system for traditional and cloud workloads. So bringing these together, we are uniquely positioned to accelerate our clients' adoption of open source in the hybrid multi-cloud arena as clients shift to cloud and accelerate on cloud. So we clearly see that advice on the right hybrid cloud environments help and build establish these Red Hat and broader open source environments and manages across these environments with consistency while reducing complexity is a very strong value proposition when Red Hat comes together with IBM services.
Thank you, Martin. So a pre-final set of materials before we get to a wrap on today's call. I just wanted to address some top misconceptions about IBM and Red Hat together. So many people ask, isn't Red Hat just an on-premise company? And the answer is absolutely not. Red Hat has been a member of the public clouds for a long time. There is a significant amount of Red Hat that only runs on AWS, Amazon, on the IBM public cloud, on Microsoft, as well as many of the other clouds in many other countries. And this is an important part of the business. Other people ask, isn't Red Hat just Linux? And the answer is Red Hat is actually two-thirds Linux, still growing at high single digits, and one-third is in emerging technologies such as containers and Kubernetes and management, where they're growing in the mid-20s, sometimes as high as 30%. And that is the mix of the business that is so attractive, and you heard both Mark and Martin talk about those aspects as well as myself. I'm not going to address all of the points here. We're happy to get into that later. But another one that I'll address is whether IBM can maintain Red Hat's neutral status of working across all these environments. Well, first, let me just reflect on IBM's own 20-year-plus history of working well with open source, from the endorsement of Linux back in the mid to late 90s to working with Eclipse to later on with Istio and Hyperledger and many, many other extremely successful open source projects. We believe that we have a credibility in that community, and we have contributed back significantly over the decades. In addition, we are going to be clear about this. Red Hat's go-to-market, Red Hat's approach to how they work in upstream open source is going to be maintained as is. We are not going to bias or prefer any IBM property as opposed to all of the partners that Red Hat has successfully worked with for decades. That is going to be maintained. However, as we described, we are going to do other things that ride on top of those platforms, and actually we would encourage everyone to do the same, to ride on top of those platforms in order to give choice to our clients and to enable working on multiple platforms. So with that, let's begin to wrap up and give you the key takeaways. I think as Mark began, cloud is integral to enterprise digital transformation. Actually, it's not clear to us how you could do a digital transformation without cloud. I think cloud and AI are the two critical elements of the digital transformation. Martin talked about laying out the $1 trillion opportunity that comprises of private and public, 40% private, 60% public, and within that, they're all comprised of services, software, and hardware or infrastructure. We believe our end-to-end approach of hybrid and multi-cloud is truly differentiated for the enterprise because it gives them the consistency of management, the openness, and the security that they need. We articulated where there is real cross-sell, upsell, also known as synergy, opportunities as the acquisition of Red Hat will close. And with the importance of hybrid and multi-cloud, we believe that IBM will become the number one hybrid cloud provider. Thank you.
Thanks, Arvind. Thanks, Mark and Martin as well. So now let's turn it over to Anderson so we can kick off the Q&A.
Absolutely, Ms. Murphy. To our participants, we'll now conduct the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press the star followed by the number one. Please unmute your phone and record your name slowly and clearly when prompted. Your name will be used to introduce your question. Once again, to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one. Our first question is from Ms. Katie Huberty at Morgan Stanley. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Two questions. The first, just broadly speaking, what is IBM doing to ensure that Red Hat's team from leadership on down to developers chooses to stick with IBM? And then a follow-up for Arvind. You mentioned on one of the slides 100 new IBM cloud clients each quarter. Are those existing IBM clients that are converting to the IBM cloud, or are those migrating from another vendor's infrastructure? And if it's the latter, you know, who are they typically migrating to, and why is that? Thank you.
Okay. So, Katie, this is Arvind. I think I'll take those questions. So on both the leadership team as well as the bulk of the Red Hat team, engineering, sales, support, et cetera, we've been doing a lot of work, obviously, with Jim Whitehurst, their CEO, and the management team around both. So we had, in order to get to even announcing the deal, we had very strong buy-in from the entire leadership team. We had spent, as you can imagine, many days and weeks making sure that that was the case. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made sense to do it. Subsequent to the announcement, we have held town halls. We have done internal surveys. We watch what people are saying. And I would tell you that the sentiment is quite positive amongst their employees as well as their next layer of leaders on working with IBM. They see the opportunity to really, I think, get their vision fulfilled of both the platforms, both the Red Hat Linux platform as well as the OpenShift platform, become a primary enterprise platform for hybrid and multi-cloud. And we have made a number of commitments. Their way of working, their cultural practices, all the way down to the brands of snacks that people want and love are going to get maintained, just to give you a sense of the level of carefulness we are trying to get into, other than, of course, compensation and other cultural practices. On the second point of the 100 new, we actually probably get way more clients than that. When we talk about 100 new clients, first, just on IBM Cloud Private, we have achieved about 400 clients, about 100 a quarter over the last four. Many of them are existing IBM clients, albeit this is incremental revenue and a new footprint for us in those clients. But a number of them are actually new clients, especially in smaller geographies where they are not necessarily clients who have a footprint with us. And the reason you see me being just a little bit hesitant on the exact percentage, sometimes when a client has gotten through a business partner, we may not always know exactly what that client has from us. In the larger clients, of course, we know exactly what they have from us, and we can talk about that. And when we talk about people migrating to the cloud, look, I'll reemphasize, most people are multi-cloud. So when they come onto our cloud, they may not always be leaving another cloud, but they're adding a cloud for capabilities that then make it more attractive to put that workload on our cloud.
Great. Thanks, Katie. Anderson, can we please take the next question?
Absolutely. Our next question is from Mr. David Grossman of Stifel. Your line is open.
Thank you. Possibly, can you talk about what the attach rate for services is today on cloud engagements, and perhaps provide more specifics about how the Red Hat combination actually increases the potential opportunity for both service segments?
I can start off. It's Martin speaking. Thank you for the question. First of all, starting with Red Hat, we have an existing relationship between Red Hat and IBM. We are almost half a dozen of times being the partner of the year, and we are serving already roughly 1,200 clients together. So there is an established relationship between Red Hat and IBM. When it's getting to the services attachment, workload assessments, what can be moved, what is the best destination, traditional, hybrid, public, it usually starts with a service engagement to first determine what is the best landing spot for the workloads of the future. And that's done in almost every single case where we get to. And let me put a number behind. Our CFO mentioned it in the earnings release after the second as well as after the third quarter. After the second quarter, we said the services backlog is about 30% cloud already. After the third quarter, we said it's somewhere between 32 and 34% is already, the backlog is already cloud. So you see there is a very high a very high affinity. When you go onto the journey of the cloud, you do it with an attachment of services.
And from a GBS perspective, obviously already, you know, our cloud application integration part of our business is the biggest part of what we do. And that's a business that is continuing to grow and to shift as we move our clients into their next generation enterprise applications, as well as do the kind of microservices work we're doing around the world, and indeed modernize our AMS provision into a cloud environment as well. Of course, we're already doing that in a world that's got, you know, multiple clouds. So we're doing that in a world that has AWS, Azure, as well as IBM's own clouds as well, as I described in the American Airlines example. I think that we see the opportunity with Red Hat to just further build upon our credibility and our footprint in this multi-cloud world. And that as we do that, as we build up skills, which we are already accelerating our plans on, around the whole Red Hat area, this is going to allow us to just simply scale and accelerate the pace at which we engage in the landscapes of our clients across their applications.
Great. Thanks, gentlemen. David, thanks for the question. Let's take the next question, please.
Our next question is from Mr. Jim Suva of Citigroup Investment Research. Your line is now open.
Thanks very much. Just curious about, it appears that based upon the speakers thus far on this call that they're all IBM employees. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but if I'm correct on that, why weren't Red Hat employees incorporated on this? I know it's pending, but you talk about great integration, but maybe you can correct me if I'm right or wrong on that.
So Jim, this is Patricia. We had a webcast 2 weeks ago when we announced the acquisition. This is really meant to be an IBM webcast. You know that we said early this year that we were going to have a series of webcasts on a number of different topics. We did one on security. We did one on socially responsible investing. And this is scheduled to talk about IBM's strategy around cloud. And, of course, you know, because now this is right after the announcement, we wanted to make sure that we were very clear on how the Red Hat acquisition would enhance our capabilities and accelerate it. But it's really, we're really here to talk about IBM's strategy. Okay. Let's go to the next question, please.
Our next question is from Mr. Toni Sacconaghi of Bernstein. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for doing this call. This is probably a follow-up to a previous question, but I'm wondering if you can maybe articulate what you think can be done by owning Red Hat that you couldn't have done as a partner or through enhancing the partnership. Because I think, Arvind, you said you were even encouraging existing Red Hat partners to extend their capabilities and to adopt their software to work on the platform. And so, you know, the question to me is, obviously it was a significant capital outlay to, or will be a significant capital outlay to acquire Red Hat. What do you really think you get incrementally by owning the asset rather than further extending the partnership? That's question one. And then question two, you have some market data in the deck that suggests that cloud might be 60% of the $1.7 trillion market opportunity, which strikes me as high, but let's go with that. Your own revenues today are about 25% cloud. Are the 60% and 25% comparable? Are you talking about, you know, the same addressable markets? And I guess the question would be, why do you think you're below the 60% today? And is that a realistic target as a percentage of IBM revenues to be cloud over time? Thank you.
So, Tony, thanks for the question. Let me begin with the first one. The first one you asked is, what does owning Red Hat give that would be hard to do under a partnership scenario? Because you're correct, we've been partners for almost 20 years. So when we begin to pick what is a platform on which to do hybrid multi-cloud, doing it as a partnership is really, really hard, given that we're projecting that about half the market or a bit more becomes cloud. To do it with a partner who may then maybe end up in some other place, or because of their own directions on which to see the market head down different paths, then it's very hard to bake something that is that strategic and that large a fraction of the company down the road with somebody who could drift into other places. And that becomes significant. It now allows us to say, this is the path we're going to take, and we're going to base it on this set of open technologies, which is only possible if you have ownership of the asset as opposed to just partnership. And by the way, it did give us confidence, since we've been partners for a long time, that these are great assets, there is a great attraction for them. Clients have resonated with that strategy from the comments that we have gotten back post the announcement. And that is a significant part of part one. Now, let me begin to address the second part of your question. The 60% of cloud, A, that's a forward-looking statement that is still 2 years and a bit away from us as opposed to today. The 60% and the 25, no, the 60% here 3 years from now includes SaaS, includes public cloud, includes private cloud, includes all the services on top of those in the different guises that those take. So what I look at you and I say, is our 25 and that 60, I would call it roughly comparable, but albeit that is down the road, and we are intending that we keep growing IBM's share in this total cloud definition. I'm not sure we've ever put out a number of what it may be like in a few years, but we definitely intend to grow it as one of the most significant parts of IBM's growth.
Great. Let's go to the next question, please.
Our next question is from Keith Bachman of BMO. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking the question. And Patricia, thanks for doing this webcast. I did want to come back to some of the product overlap areas and get your feedback on how you manage that. So JBoss has been competing for WebSphere with WebSphere for quite some time, and so presumably that puts pressure on WebSphere. Also, just even at the operating system level, Rail has been displacing AIX for some time. Perhaps AIX is small enough now where it's not meaningful. And then even Red Hat has some KVM activities and storage capabilities that they've been promoting. So there is some areas of overlap, if you will, and just wanted to try to understand how you manage that process and what are the implications. Thank you.
Thanks. This is Arvind. Maybe I'll begin with that. So let me begin with the last part, which was on the hypervisors, KVM, and storage. To be honest, the hypervisor that we acknowledge and accept the most across all our Linux portfolio is actually KVM. So that's hardly an overlap, but KVM is an open source technology, and both of us tend to invest in it. So actually, I view this as makes life simpler by maybe combining efforts in some areas. On the AIX and RHEL question, we've been clear. We do not want to bias the market on it. On all our platforms, we actually offer Linux, and in two of them, on both Power and Mainframe, we do offer other operating systems. On the AIX and RHEL question, I think it comes down to the workload people run on top. In many instances, we find that when people want to run very high-end databases, and especially when those occupy very large memory footprints and very large storage behind those databases, that has turned out to be one of the strong holds for the Unix systems. On the other hand, when people want to run lots of open source packages, then Linux turns out to be the platform that people want and accept on the underlying hardware. And so I do not view those as actually overlapping. I think there's self-selection from clients in terms of that level of platform. And to the final part of your question on JBoss and WebSphere, there are many, many, I'll call it Java application servers, or actually Java and JavaScript. I think that the nature of the workload makes people pick which of those platforms they want. Is it JBoss? Is it Oracle? Is it Liberty? Is it WebSphere? Is it some other form of Node.js, et cetera? And I think that for the vast majority, what people have written to becomes the way that they will go forward for pre-existing applications. For new applications, we know that there is a strong predilection to go towards both what is called low-code and no-code, and that is why JavaScript and the no-code approaches are so much more attractive for many of the going-forward applications, while Java as a language remains an extremely strong footprint in enterprises.
Great. Thanks, Arvind. Anderson, do we have any other questions?
We don't have any other questions. Thank you, Ms. Murphy.
Okay. So then let me just wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for joining us for this really important discussion on Hybrid Cloud for the Enterprise. We look forward to continuing the dialogue, and if any of you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to us in Investor Relations. And with that, Anderson, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, speakers. Thank you for participating in today's conference. The conference is now ended. You may now disconnect. Thank you.